before I do, I want to say something about next week. Next Sunday, December 25th, I know it will be a very special day in many of our homes. I hope it's special in your home. Amen. But I pray also that you'll make space for Jesus in that day. Amen. That you will make a space, that you will recognize Jesus Christ. Amen. On December 25th. Amen. We'll have church here, 11 o'clock. We may shorten things up a little bit. We may not have children's class. My intention is, I'm going to tell you the story, just as it is in Scripture, about the birth of Jesus Christ, the greatest event that has ever happened in all of the history of mankind. Amen. I want to show you that event in Scripture. Amen. The world wants to twist it all to pieces, but I want to show you what it is in the Word of God. Amen. Next week in our December 25th service, that's what I plan to do. Amen. And what I'd like to do is also, because I know they're going to be calling me right after Christmas, they're going to be calling me and, well, what's your church going to give for Christmas for Christ? I have no idea what you all are going to give. I have a number in my mind. My wife and I, we took one of the $1,000 envelopes. We plan to fill that envelope, and we'll probably give more than that, but at least $1,000. But if you've made your commitment or you've already given your gift, thank you very much. It's already in the hands of our church treasury, and that will go to Christmas for Christ. If you've designated it so, CFC, Christmas for Christ, on your giving envelope, or you can use one of these envelopes that are on the side here in the displays. But if you can't give it tomorrow or next week, if you can't give it today, you can't give it next week, what I'd like you to do is from now till then, I'd like you to pray. Ask God, Lord, what is it, Lord, that you'd want me to give in support of North American missions, of Christmas for Christ? Amen. It's about planting churches. I pray that this district, Connecticut, will be a huge part in the successful launch of 6 new churches next year in Connecticut. I am hyped. I am like, awesome. That is great news to me. Amen. And I want to be a part of it. I hope you do too. Praise the Lord. So if you are unable to give it next week, I'd like you to just write it on a piece of paper, my CFC pledge, and then write the amount. And you'll have until the end of the last Sunday of January to turn in that amount, okay? Because when they call me and ask, well, what's your church going to give, that will give me some idea. I'm going to accumulate all that has come in to that date, plus I'm going to add whatever little pledge cards come in next Sunday, and then that will be the number that I tell headquarters when they ask me, what is our church going to give? Would you help me? Would you pray? Would you ask God? Amen. Praise the Lord. Stand with me, reading of the Word. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6, and John chapter 14, verse number 6 is where I'm going to start. Isaiah 9, verse 6 says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Isaiah was talking about Jesus Christ. Amen. He was prophesying of who was to come. Amen. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. truly the only way, amen, is through Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to talk for a little while on this topic, a wonderful life. Would you pray? Lord, I love you. I thank you. We ask even right now in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would touch and, Lord, just let your anointing, Lord, be upon me to say, God, of your will. God, open our hearts, our minds, our understanding. Lord, help us, God, to focus, Lord, upon you. And thank you, Lord, for your favor. We ask it even right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. The title may bring to some people a thought. It's a wonderful life. Anybody bring a thought to your mind? Yeah. A 1946 movie directed by Frank Capra, starring James Stewart and Donna Reed. Old black and white. I think they put color to it after a while. It was an old classic movie. Still available today. People still watch it. But the world, even in what the world would say is good settings, lies to us. Lies to everybody. The world, even this movie, and I've watched it a bunch of times over the years. Its theme perhaps is by the end makes you feel good. You know, it has a happy ending. But there's so many lies. You know, an angel is not going to be a clumsy old man with no wings. That's not an angel. There are angels. And God controls all of them. They are all at his beck and command. Amen. In that movie, they showed drinking, you know, and some not so nice stuff. And, you know, he gets way down. The base of the movie is he goes way down deep in trouble and he comes out at the end. A whole bunch of people prayed for him. Now, I'm not against people praying for you. In fact, I think God does listen when people pray. Amen. God does hear the prayers of men. Praise the Lord. But not like it is in the movies. Amen. The fervent, effectual prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. When you are living for God and serving him, when you pray, it matters. Amen. It's powerful. Praise the Lord. But so many things the movie got wrong. The world wants to show us or wants to depict to us, wants to press upon us what the good life is. Almost all of the time, the world's depiction of the good life is not a good life. The world is just so twisted. It's just so backward. It's just so wrong. You know, they'd show from years ago, you know, the guy riding on the horse through the, you know, through the western part and smoking a cigarette and advertising Camels. You can be strong like him if you smoke a Camel. No, the world is lying to you. When I was in 11th grade, I was privileged to be a part of a pharmacology course for seniors, and I went to a summer school class at the University of Minnesota Duluth, and it was an advanced class, and they had actual cadavers. Anybody ever know what a cadaver is? A person who donated their body to science, and they work on them in medical colleges, and they show the students what's inside of people with real people. Well, they showed me what a person's lung looks like that died of lung cancer. Man, your eyeballs are, whoa. That commercial about the camel guy, they are lying to you. That smoke is going to tear you up. And there's nothing you can do about it except stop smoking. The lady in the black velvet dress, you know, with a very rich, lavish surroundings. You know, the world is lying to you that if you drink this brand of whiskey that you're going to look like her. The world, that's a lie. If you drink this whiskey, you're going to have a woman that looks like. It's a lie. I've got cousins, uncles, aunts, relatives, loved ones. They were so messed up with drinking. Family members. So messed up with alcohol that it destroyed their whole life. Everything. I'm not just talking about money, but it'll eat all your money. It'll take your ability to live in a home. It'll take your relationships. It'll destroy all of your relationships if you'll let it. Where nobody wants to trust you anymore. Nobody wants to help you anymore. And then, my loved ones, my family members that died of cirrhosis of the liver because they poisoned their body to the point where the body could no longer function. Death. The world is such a lying place. How about the bumper sticker? Try to bring it back up a little level. That's pretty deep right there. That's pretty low right there. It's true. I know I don't know how you're. I don't think any families are immune to the wiles of the devil. The devil wants to destroy every family. My family's not excluded. There's people in my family that have been destroyed by these things. Died without God because of these things. How about the bumper sticker that says, a bad day golfing is better than a good day working. See Tony Gomez smiling. He's got his head going up and down. But there's some people here that could switch the word hunting or fishing or week before Christmas shopping. What do we put as a priority in our life? You see, a bad day living for God is better than the best day living for the devil. Amen. I don't ever want to go back to living in sin. There's no part of me that wants that life back. No way. I want to live for God. I want to serve Him. Amen. God's given me the best things in all my life. Praise the Lord. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. My life is better when I live for God than when I don't. My God blesses me when I live for Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. When we give our life to Jesus Christ, we receive the promise of eternal life. All of the promises in the book, they're mine. Amen. I believe the word. I believe what God has done. I believe what he will do. Praise the Lord. However, John chapter 10, verse 10, what I just read is not referring to eternal life. It's a reference to the promise of abundant life. The life that God wants to give us here on earth, in our own lives, today. God wants us to be blessed. Live for God in the here and now. A truly wonderful life is not based on what the world would tell you it is. A truly wonderful life is a result and is not dependent on things. You don't have to have things to be blessed. You got to have Jesus. Praise the Lord. And I can remember days that I didn't hardly have two nickels to rub together. But I knew my house, my home, my wife, my children were blessed. Amen. Amen. When my wife laid her hand on the wash machine because she needed to wash diapers and God fixed the wash machine. I don't know about you, but I'll tell you what, it was a miracle. When we didn't have, you know, it was a little bit before payday and we were a little low on groceries and Jeanette was looking in the cupboard and looking for something to make for dinner and there really wasn't much in there and she's praying, God, help me, Lord, just, I want to make dinner for my family. And a lady from the church shows up at the door with two bags of groceries. You know, that she did not call. God, that she didn't call nobody. God answered her prayer. God put new tires on my car. We didn't have no money for tires. I could tell 100 of those, maybe 1,000 of those stories. How that God provided for every need. How that God helped us in every case. And how God was always there and he was always for us. I tell you, it's a wonderful life living for God. Amen. It's exciting to see how that God brings us through. How that God takes us out. How that God has his hand over us, helps us. My life is not dependent on things. It's not dependent on money. In fact, if you trust too much in money, you probably won't trust God. Money can't fix the cancer that comes to your body. Money can't heal the relationship that was destroyed. Amen. Money isn't going to fix it. That's not the answer. A Merry Christmas is not based on having a house decorated like Currier and Ives. I don't admit to it. Maybe people don't even know who that is anymore. Fancy decorations. Praise the Lord. A Merry Christmas has nothing to do with the amount of money that you spend on gifts. Zero. When you think of your Christmas memories, what do you think of? When I think of mine, when I think of my Christmas memories, one of the memories I cherish, we used to go on Monday night, me and I think our parents sent the kids out of the house just so that they could have a little bit of quiet time. There were 15 people in my family, by the way. So my family, my house was very busy and lots of kids. But the kids would go to the Salvation Army on Monday night. Almost every Monday night. We went to church on Sunday and Salvation Army on Monday. And it was a Christmas party on that Monday. And they were giving gifts to every kid. Well, my gift was a pair of idiot mittens. You know what that is? It's mittens that have a string tied on them. And it goes through your coat and it goes on this thing. So that when the kid takes his mittens on, he doesn't get left in the field. It's attached to his coat and the mittens come home. The idiot can't lose his mittens. But I got a pair of idiot mittens at the Salvation Army. And I was happy. All right, my hands aren't going to be cold. I really enjoyed getting those mittens. In fact, I enjoyed that gift so much. And I was just a little guy. I don't know how old I was, but maybe 3, 4, 5, somewhere in there. You know, I was big enough to walk around, but man, I was excited about those mittens. And I wanted to wear those mittens home. So when it came time to put the coat on, I had put the mitten through one hand and put the mitten through the other. You know, they went through the sleeves of my coat, and I put my coat on, and I was getting ready to go, and I was putting my mittens on, and I was so happy. Oh, there's something in my mitten. I thought, you know, the price tag is in there. There's something in my mitten. So I take my mitten off. There was a $1 bill in my mitten. Man, I was so excited. I got a dollar. At first, I thought it was a mistake. I was trying to give it back, and the lady at Salvation Army said, no, that's yours. You're welcome to keep that. And I was so excited about that mitten with a dollar in one side. Lady said I could keep it, so I was going to put my coat on and put the other mitten on. Did you know that there was another dollar bill in the other mitten? Man, I was so excited. I was so excited to get, I got new mittens and money. I'm holding the dollar bills. I was so excited. You know, it doesn't take a lot to make a kid happy. I remember very few gifts from all, and I got gifts every Christmas. Every Christmas I got gifts. But if you ask me today, well, I want you to list all the gifts you got. My list would be really small because I don't remember hardly any of them. Maybe a bicycle, I remember that. I got a football one year. I got jackets and mittens, and socks and clothes, shoes. It really wasn't the gifts. Mostly it wasn't. And you know what? Many times the parents get more excited about the gifts than the kids do. What I remember is family. I had older brothers and sisters that were moved out of the house, and they would come home for Christmas and bring their kids with them. So my house that was already busy got really busy when the cousins came over. And I remember that house just being full of excitement and joy and love and fun. It was good stuff. That's what I remember about the Christmases when I was a child. It was spending time together. And then when I grew up and I moved away, I moved out of the house, I moved across the country, I made a very strong effort to bring my kids home for Christmas. Had to travel from Virginia to Wisconsin to do it. And it was a effort. Bring a car full of smoke. I got 4 kids. So we pack in the car and go across country and go visit the grandparents at Christmas. And it was an important trip. because I wanted my children to know my grandparents, their grandparents, our Jeanette's mom and dad and my mom. That's what I remember about Christmas. And now, my kids bring their kids over at Christmas. I think it's a good thing. Amen. Family is a good thing. Amen. Love and caring is a good thing. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 20. He that handleth the matter wisely shall find good. And whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Amen. So trust in the Lord and follow God. Live for him. Amen. And God will make yours a wonderful life. The life we find in Jesus Christ enhances everything. Everything is better because you live for God. You're a better husband. You're a women, wives, you're a better wife. Amen. Because you live for God. If you got a job, you're a better employee because you live for God. Amen. Everything. You're blessed because you live for God. The value of family, I don't know that it could be overstated. Amen. Family is valuable. Yes, both our natural family, that's important. But also, my church family is important. I am closer and spend more time with my church family by far than I do with other family members that live in different parts of the world. We need to have an appreciation for true friendship and for family. Amen. Brotherhood. Brothers in Christ. Brothers that I know from a long time ago. They're still just as close, and I love them just as much. Even though I may not have seen them in years, they're still very special to me. Amen. Brothers in Jesus Christ. Sisters that love the Lord. Amen. Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Amen. And there is one that sticks closer than a brother. Amen. The opportunity to belong. Participation in a vision that is bigger than ourselves. Amen. I tell you what, Christmas for Christ, planting new churches, having new preaching points is a part of the vision. I want to be a part of it. I want to see how God is going to do it. I want to be a part of blessing those that go to do the plant and do the work. Amen. In fact, I want to be one that goes and does the work. I want to be a part of the vision. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 2, verse 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She knew how Jesus came to pass, that it was a miracle from God. Nobody had to tell her that this was a special child. Amen. She knew this boy is special. God did this. Amen. Let me just hurry through some of these. I got a couple of stories here. I just found them. They're not Bible stories, really. A young mother explained, I did not realize how closely my 18-month-old toddler had been listening to the Christmas carols until she picked up the peas off of her plate and she threw them on the floor and said, with an excited smile, "Peas on earth." My granddaughter, Rachel, my wife watches her, and she was pretty cranky and needed to take a nap, and she was not happy. Grandma was going to put her down for a nap, and Rachel was saying, I'm not cranky. I'm not tired. I don't need a nap. I'm happy now, Grandma. Grandma takes her off, puts her in the bedroom, sets her on the bed, and makes, you know, you're going to lay down and take a nap. I'm happy now, Grandma. Standing, crying, wailing, I'm happy now. What we say is not always true. I'm happy now. She just wants to get out of bed. Praise the Lord. A 10-year-old girl went with a group of family and friends to see a Christmas light display at various locations throughout the city. And one church that they stopped at, they got out of the car and looked more closely at the beautifully done nativity scene. Isn't that beautiful? Said the little girl's grandmother. Look at all those animals, Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus. Yes, Grandma, replied the granddaughter. It is really nice, but there is only one thing that bothers me. Isn't baby Jesus ever going to grow up? He was the same size last year. The 5-year-old girl who was helping set the table one Sunday near Christmas, she stopped for a moment and announced Jesus was a Swede. Oh, more than a little surprise, the mother corrected her. Oh, no, dear, Jesus was Jewish. I'll read it to you from the Bible after lunch. The little girl was laying out the silverware and helping her mom, and then her face brightened. Mommy, I can prove it to you. We sang about it in Sunday school this morning. Triumphantly, she sang, away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. No, he really was Jewish. To us, the one in the manger is no stranger. Jesus the Christ. Wise men saw his star more than 2,000 years ago, and wise men still seek him. Amen. Praise the Lord. A story about two water towers have always served as a landmark for travelers heading for their homes near Wycona, Illinois. Especially at the holidays, more than 40 years ago, John Custard, then village chief of police, suggested mounting two large crosses on the towers that illuminously mark the season. Adopted by the village, the display of crosses became a tradition. Year after year, those crosses were on the water towers. Right after Thanksgiving, when Christmas decorations went up, the crosses were lit high in the sky. But years ago, Robert Sherman, a spokesman for the American Atheists Incorporated, heard about the crosses. And since Wycona's crosses were on government property, Sherman saw an alleged violation of church and state. He delivered an ultimatum: remove the crosses from the water towers or meet in court. Several town hall meetings followed. Resident Joyce Mitchell, a member of the Crossroads Community Church, asked God to give her the right words and the right spirit for each of those meetings. The Christians in the community were united with the rest of the community, whether they were churchgoers or not, in refusing to let some outsider tell us how to celebrate Christmas. But the decision was forced by economics. Realizing a similar case had lost in court, the residents of Wakona opted not to burden themselves with hundreds of thousands of dollars of court costs. Then the grassroots group of residents had the final say. Our business, Wakona Boat Company, is located across from the village hall. And resident Rosemary Buschick explains the meeting about the crosses was on a Tuesday night, and when it was over, he knew the crosses would have to come down. Then my husband, Chuck, went to the back room of the shop and constructed a window-sized cross with lights to display the next day. Will Shoemaker, whose home appliance store is also on Main Street, also put up a cross. Within weeks, there were crosses appearing on houses everywhere, attached to antennas, stuck in yards, beaming from trees, shining in windows. It seemed to just happen. The crosses went up everywhere. When Joyce Mitchell drove around the village with her daughter, who was 6 and 9 at the time, she began to cry. The media portrayed us as losing the fight, but we didn't lose. Two crosses had been replaced with hundreds. God was glorified in the end. The crosses continued to shine each year. No one will tell us to take down our cross, says Rosemary Mers of Mers Restaurant, which inherited one of the original water tower crosses for her restaurant. Praise the Lord. I made a Jesus sign. If you ride by my house and it's dark outside, you won't miss it. Amen. The letters are 5 feet tall, and I got them stuck up in trees at the corner of my lot where everybody driving by is going to see Jesus. Some people happily would wave and honk, you know, give you the thumbs up as they go by. They're happy. Nice sign, nice, you know. And it, unfortunately, sometimes people will throw stuff in my yard at my sign. But you know what I've started doing? God, show that person who you are. God, bring them to you. I started praying for those people that if you throw trash in my yard, I'm going to pray God get you. Not in a mean way. I'm going to pray God save you. That God would bless you, that God would help you, that God would bring you to Him. So that's just my habit now. If somebody throws something at my Jesus sign, I'm going to pray for them. You know what? People stop throwing the trash too. Amen. I got to wrap this up. One last story. It was about a remarkable Christmas card that was published by the title, If Christmas Had Not Come. Anybody ever heard of that? It was a Christmas card that was written some years ago. Let me tell the story here and I'll conclude. The card pictured a minister falling asleep in his study on Christmas morning and then dreaming of a world in which Jesus had never come. In his dream, he saw himself walking through the house, but as he looked, he saw no nativity. No nativity set on his mantle, no decorations hung there by his chimney, no tree, no wreath, no holly. Then he walked into the street outside, but there was no church with its steeple pointing toward heaven. And when he came back and sat down in his library, he realized that every book about Jesus had disappeared. The minister dreamed that the doorbell rang and that a messenger asked him to visit a friend's poor dying mother. He reached her home, and as his friend sat and wept, he said, "I have something here that will comfort you." So he opened his Bible to look for a familiar promise, but it ended with Malachi. There were no gospels, no promise of hope and salvation. And all he could do was bow his head and weep with his friend and his mother in bitter despair. 2 days later, he stood beside her coffin and conducted her funeral service. But there was no message of comfort. There was no glorious resurrection. There was no thought of a mansion awaiting her in heaven. There was only dust to dust and ashes to ashes. One long, eternal farewell. Finally, he realized that Christ had not come, and burst into tears, weeping bitterly in his sorrowful dream. Then suddenly he awoke with a start, and with a great shout of joy, he heard his choir singing these words in the church that was next door. He heard this: "Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord." You know, we should be very, very glad and rejoice today that he did come. Jesus really did come. He is alive. And because he came, we can experience the joy that is found in knowing Jesus Christ. We can have the full joy and salvation that he purchased for us. You see, by his stripes we are healed, and in his name we are saved. We have hope of eternal life because of Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me? Today, this week before Christmas, let us remember and proclaim, just as in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, the proclamation of the angel. "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ really is the greatest news that has ever come to man. Amen. He is the greatest gift that has ever been given. This gift is given unto you and to your family and to our world. Now and then we should consider what our life would be like. I can't even really imagine what my life would be like without Jesus Christ. I can tell you it would be much, much worse. Be horrible. But with Jesus, my life is more blessed. I live a wonderful life. And later, it gets better. Amen. There's going to be a heavenly place that God himself has prepared. Praise the Lord. In closing, you see, the Jews had the king born in their backyard, and they didn't recognize it. Calvary's tree is greater than our own family tree. Amen. My church family is special to me. Praise the Lord. Hymn number 396. Let me close with this and we'll dismiss. If you got a hymnal, 396, Joy to the World. Sing this song with me in closing. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ. While fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love. One more, Joy to the World, verse 1. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Lord, I love you, Jesus. I praise you. I thank you, God. Lord, I magnify your name. I praise you, Lord Jesus. I worship you. I praise you, Lord. I thank you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Make this week special. Amen. Find someone to share Jesus Christ with. Amen. He really is the reason for the season. Amen. Would you love him with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. Lord, we pray your will, God, be accomplished in our lives. Use us, God, for your glory. Help us, Lord, to serve you, Lord, to put you first, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray and ask, Lord, your will, God, be accomplished in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Be blessed. Amen. You're living a wonderful life in Jesus Christ. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. God bless you.